Podcast and 20 Minutes or Less Podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, October 13th, 2017. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
I'm Buckler.
I'm...
It's Friday the 13th in October, Shauna. It's super spooky.
Shauna Spookerson. That's a big stretch.
Spooka Spookerson. Shauna Deadferson?
Yeah.
Spooka Deadferson?
Spooka Deadferson.
It's not great.
It's a bit of a stretch. We'll go with it.
We actually do have quite a spooky story. Shauna's going to tell you a little later on in the podcast about a local, I guess in the area here, a local haunting.
Yes, yes.
And we're going to play a full interview. We aired part of this interview on the show today, but you'll get to hear the full thing in just a few minutes. First, just in case there was any question, let's put this to bed.
Eminem has been in the news lately. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, because of that big rap that he released dissing Donald Trump.
Yep, and then Seth Meyers rapped about Trump as well. All kinds of rapping.
And then following that, the top post on all of Reddit earlier this week, a couple days ago, was talking about how Eminem actually set a Guinness World Record for the most words in a hit single.
Right.
There's one section of the song Rap God where he raps 97 words in 15 seconds at a rate of 6.5 words per second.
Crazy.
It's this right here if you've never heard it.
Lyrics coming at you with supersonic speed. I'm a human. What I gotta do to get it through to you? I'm superhuman, innovative, and I made a rubble. So that anything you say is ricocheting off of me and it'll glue to you. And devastating more than ever, demonstrating how to give them.
It's pretty fire.
That's super hot fire. Now, what people don't realize is that Beckler and I, too, I'm a rap goddess, in fact.
Yes. I go by Young Dad,
mm-hmm.
Papa Rhyme Droppa, the Paternal Inferno.
You've thought about all of that?
Oh, yeah.
I go by Hot Mess, Loose Lips and Loose Morals, maybe.
The Spilly Talker.
Missy Spilliard. Oh, man.
All right, so we're gonna give this a go here,
mm-hmm.
This part of this song.
Lyrics coming at you with supersonic speed. Some of them you assuming I'm a human. What I gotta do to get it through to you, I'm superhuman.
Innovative, animator, rubber, so that anything you say is conveying off of me and it'll glue to you.
I'm devastated more than ever, demonstrating how to give a motherfucking audience a feeling like it's levitating.
Never fading in, I know that the haters are forever waiting for the day that they can say I fell off, they're celebrating.
Cause I know the way to get them motivated, I make elevating music. You make elevator music.
Oh, he's too mainstream.
Well, that's what they do when they get jealous, they confuse it.
Oh!
I think we rest our case.
Hot!
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Leading up to Halloween, we like to share scary stories with you. Actually, scary stories.
Yeah.
I promise only one or two of them will be the ghost pizza.
Okay, we're not doing ghost pizza today.
No, so you know. Shauna has an actually scary story for you.
Yes. I was reading up about what is potentially the most haunted place in Alberta. And I know many people who have had stories of this place and... Here's what goes down. So the Banff Springs Hotel, Fairmont Banff Springs, is the most haunted place. Now, the most famous spirit is that of a bride. So the story goes that in the late 1920s, it was a young couple's wedding day. The bride, while walking down one of the marble staircases, slipped and fell. Some say she caught her heel in the hem of her dress. Others say her dress brushed up against a candle's flame. Whatever the cause, the bride died on those very steps. And since then, hotel staff and guests alike have reported seeing a veiled figure moving up and down those stairs, or seeing a figure in a wedding dress dancing in the ballroom upstairs.
So that's the story of the bride. There's some weird stuff that happened in the rooms too, right?
Now there are two rooms that are haunted. One that I've heard of before and the other I heard of just today, but one is room 692. And this one, several guests on many occasions report having the pillows yanked out from under their heads while they sleep, or even being pushed off the bed by some unseen entity. And because of that, if you ask the staff of the hotel, they say that room is actually hard to keep booked because people experience these things and leave right away.
Wow.
The next room, 873. This one is where an entire family was murdered. Ever since, guests in the room have reported being awakened by screaming, deafening screaming. When they turn on the lights, they see bloody handprints on the mirror. Depending on who tells the story, the handprints either disappeared before hotel staff had a chance to clean them, or the handprints just don't come off at all. Either way, if you visit the 8th floor where room 873 should be, you find it's been completely blocked off.
And it's quite obvious that there is a door missing there, isn't it?
You walk down the hallway and you see lights above all the doors. And then you see this one light, and there's no door below. So you know there was at one point.
I wonder if the room is as they left it, or what it looks like inside now if you can't access it.
That's terrifying.
In 20 minutes or less podcast.
Flu season is upon us. You're going to see clinics start popping up across the city in the next few weeks. And on the phone right now is Dr. Judy McDonald, who is one of the medical officers of health for Alberta Health Services here in Calgary. Thank you for joining us, Dr. McDonald.
Hello.
So we have some true or false questions for you regarding the flu shot and the flu clinics. And this was kind of all inspired. I had read somewhere that when you're trying to develop the immunization for the upcoming season, you're not certain which flu strain you're going to be dealing with. Is that true?
True.
So how do you go about figuring out which flu you're going to be combating?
Well, the best evidence that is gathered year-round around the globe is coordinated and put together by the World Health Organization. And because there is such a long time that's needed for vaccine manufacturers to make the influenza vaccine, the World Health Organization actually releases their proposed recipe, if you will, for vaccine for the Northern Hemisphere in February. So in February of 2017, they had gathered all their data about what they were seeing with influenza circulating around the world and said, this is what the Northern Hemisphere vaccine needs to contain. And so the vaccine manufacturers start making it, and then by the fall, it's ready for us to use.
How often do you get it wrong?
Well, so that's not an easy question to answer, because the influenza vaccine contains 3 and sometimes 4 different influenza strains. So while we may have a good match, that's what we call it, with some components of the vaccine, sometimes it's harder. Well, it is harder to predict and get it right for the influenza A H3 component. So sometimes that's not a very good match, and sometimes it's pretty good. So I don't have a percentage for you to say how often it's great and how often we miss, but it's never a complete miss.
Is the quote-unquote recipe completely different every year? Like, is there a lot of things that, like, is it dramatically different, drastically different rather from year to year then?
Actually, it isn't very different from one year to the next. For example, last year's vaccine compared to this year's vaccine, there's only one component that's different, and it's influenza A H1 component that has finally changed. That component had been the same for since 2009, basically.
Interesting.
So it really is based on what is being seen, the different influenza strains that are circulating.
True or false, when giving the flu shot, you're injecting a live virus into a person?
False. So the injectable vaccine is it's all a killed vaccine, and so there is no live virus there.
So can you expect some flu-like symptoms after receiving the vaccine?
It's possible. So some of the expected side effects after getting influenza vaccine can include some redness and soreness at the injection site. Some people can develop a mild fever and just kind of some achiness. What that really is your body is responding to the vaccine. And so that response is very similar to what you might experience if you got influenza, except influenza is much, much worse.
Why does your body respond that way?
It's part of, I guess, our immune system kind of kicking in. And so what you're actually experiencing is your immune response.
So you're kind of fighting off a mild version of the flu. Is that true?
Well, I think what you're doing is actually your immune system is responding and developing antibodies. And so when it responds, you only have limited ways that your body can say, yep, I'm on it. And so that feeling of a mild fever and some aches and pains is suggesting your body is at work.
And true or false, if more people get the flu shot, it creates herd immunity?
True. It's a qualified true. The more people that get the vaccine, the better the protection for the whole community will be. As to whether we reach that level of protection to adequately cover everybody, that's a high number to achieve. So when you say herd immunity, We probably won't get there as far as influenza is concerned, but it is important for people to think about more than themselves when they're getting immunized, that they're also perhaps protecting their neighbors, the people they work with, et cetera.
So basically that would happen if everyone got the flu shot, but the chances of that are slim.
Yeah, close to everybody. I haven't done the calculations, but sometimes it can take upwards of 80% of your population to be immunized to prevent or to provide herd immunity for any particular organism. For measles, it's like 95%.
Is it true that some people are ineligible to get the flu shot?
It's true that there are some people that cannot receive the vaccine safely, and those would be people, it's rare, but people that have had a severe allergic reaction like anaphylaxis to the previous doses of vaccine, influenza vaccine, or any components of the vaccine.
And this is where it's going to get tricky, Dr. McDonald. True or false, the flu shot is used by the government to control our minds?
That's false.
Are you sure?
I am sure, yes. I would say that I've been getting influenza vaccine for many, 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 many years, and I don't think I'm, that the government isn't able to control me.
The government isn't telling you to say this right now? You're not speaking for the government directly?
No, I am not. I'm speaking for myself as a public health doctor.
Okay.
Who's on the payroll of the government?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's hard to be a doctor without being paid by, but it's the taxpayers that are paying, right? Not, that's the way I look at it, not the government.
Dr. McDonald, thank you so much for your expertise and your time today.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to talk with both of you.
BMS in 20 minutes or less.
Can I admit something to you for a second?
Please.
So I don't think I ever really thought about how amazing hibernation is until like just now.
Hibernation, like how bears
like
hibernate.
Bears hibernate. It's one of those things that I've always known. You always talk about, you see bears, and you're like, oh, look, it's going to go hibernate now. And then I was reading about this bear in Fernie named Boo, and it was talking about his hibernation habits, and instantly I was in awe of how amazing it is. Like they were saying he's now eating 40,000 calories a day, getting ready to go to sleep.
Whoa.
And he's going to sleep for months. And I was like, that is crazy. Has anybody realized how crazy that is?
How long does a bear hibernate for?
That's a good question. Because some of them are going to sleep right now, I think, right? And then they come out in the spring. So what, 4 or 5 months?
That's insane.
Yeah.
How does an animal survive for that long?
I don't know. 40,000 calories a day, though. It just fattens itself right up, like to the point where it probably feels a little sick. And then it just falls asleep. Like, can you imagine that?
And are they unconscious the whole time, or are they just kind of in a restful state? Like, are they awake, or are they?
I think it's almost, I don't think they're conscious, because I know that their heart rate slows right down.
So that they don't have to use?
No energy at all.
Right.
So it's just enough to basically keep the blood circulating so they don't die, but that's it.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That is an amazing adaptation.
Like, how stiff are they when they wake up?
Yeah, you would feel just terrible. Like, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
What's happened to me?
It's like when you break a leg or something, you don't use that muscle for a while, and all of a sudden you're like, what is going on?
Why do my muscles hurt so
much? Why does everything hurt?
Because you've never used them before.
That's so crazy to me.
Like waking up after a really tough night of drinking,
yes,
and you feel like you got hit by a bus.
Yes.
Like, what happened?
Yes.
It's like that.
Yes.
But to the extreme.
No wonder bears are angry when they wake up. Like, they just slept for 5 months and now have to deal with this, okay?
Have you ever seen, it's one of the BBC documentaries, I don't remember if it's Life or Planet Earth, but it starts with a mother polar bear and her two cubs emerging from their den, from hibernation. And they come out of this mountainside and they can barely walk, and the cubs really can't because they've never walked outside of the den.
Right.
And you can watch them like tumble down the hill. And
do they stretch
it's playful
for a long
and cute
time? I feel like I just stretch for like 2 days straight. Yeah. Just... almost done. Oh, this feels good.
There's a ski hill in Vancouver. I forget which one it is. And they adopted these two baby cubs a few years back. And they made them their own hibernation den. And they put a camera in there. And what they found was bears actually get up and walk around every single day in like a sleepwalking state.
Really?
So that's how their muscles and joints and all that stay healthy during the 4 or 5 months they sleep.
That's interesting, because like Shauna said, if you've ever had a cast on for even a month, like the muscles atrophy pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, oh Oh, yeah. Like, even if you sleep for 18 hours, you get up and you're like, oh, my legs.
Yeah. Especially after eating that much. I mean, Jesus. Like, do you ever wake up and you're like, oh, I have a food hangover and I just...
What movie was that where they the boys sleep... Was it Step Brothers where they sleepwalk around the house and just ridiculous the shit they get into? Yeah. That's what I'm picturing right now with these bears.
That's pretty much what the bears look like, too, because they're just, like, walking in circles and such. But there's actually a webpage. I wish I had the info for you, but you can actually watch these bears all year round. And then, right, you can watch them when they're sleeping. It's kind of boring, but they do wake up. So
that is cool.
Yeah.
One of the questions when you look up hibernation is, can a person go into hibernation?
Who's the lazy bastard who typed that in, eh? What if I don't want to be around for the winter?
Well, Terry is hanging out in the basement. Does that count?
X92.9.
This is kind of cool. When I was home over the weekend, my cousin was telling me the story, and he was saying... he convinced his friend John to take a drama class in school because he had this crush on a girl. And then the girl wasn't interested, so he wound up quitting the drama class, and his friend John kept taking these classes. And he was like, that friend John was John Candy.
No way.
So I was like, that is crazy. So you convinced John Candy to take drama classes.
And get into acting.
Yeah.
And because he liked a girl.
Yes. So the only reason he joined drama class himself was because he had a crush on a girl. And so he forced his friend to come with him. And then his friend wound up really liking drama class, needless to say.
That's unreal.
His name was John Candy.
So your cousin's older, obviously.
Yes. Yes. And I was just laughing. I was like, that's so crazy to me. And how did I just know this now? But I guess he was just like, I don't know. We were really close, in fact. I was like, that's crazy. It's quite funny, though, because people do try and do things to pick up the ladies. And this is one of the things you do, is you sometimes will wind up taking classes. Did you ever take a class just because somebody you liked was in it?
No, I don't think so.
In high school, I didn't know what, you know, electives to take. So I always just looked at the people who were in the other electives and was picking based on that. And this one guy who was new to the school, his name is Mike, and I had a crush on him. And he took drama. So I took drama because of that, too.
Did Mike turn out to be famous?
We wound up dating. He didn't wind up being famous. No, he wound up stealing things.
Oh.
Yeah. He was a bit of a klepto, so things didn't go the same way for him.
Not quite the John Candy success story.
No.
So I imagine your cousin, when he watches John Candy's films, probably feels a sense of ownership over that too, right? A sense of like he took part in that career.
Yeah, I meant to ask him. I was like, how do you feel about that? Because do you feel that way? I mean, you can't obviously attribute John Candy's success fully to yourself, but you definitely would be like, I feel like I influenced him at least.
Yeah, I would think so. I know a guy in Saskatoon, and his great-grandpa bought Gordie Howe his first pair of skates because Gordie Howe grew up super poor.
Crazy.
And I was like, man, you'd have to feel like you really contributed to a career in that sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, did Gordie Howe keep in touch with him?
I don't know. I don't know.
You always think maybe you would, especially if you do feel you owe a bit of your career, perhaps, to that.
Yeah, that's true.
Back when things were down and out or your family couldn't afford it, and you're like, you did buy me that pair of skates.
Did your cousin keep in touch with John Candy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they were close friends for a long time, I guess, so.
That is very cool.
Crazy.
And how's Mike, by the way? How's your ex-boyfriend, Mike, who steals things?
Mike's good. He doesn't steal things anymore, I don't think.
He cleaned it up?
Or not quite as much. Maybe just for fun now, but he has a big cost.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
And that is another week of podcasts in the bag.
Bam! What's Bam from? Do you remember that commercial where it was Bam?
Well, I know on Trailer Park Boys, like the Collinses, Phil Collins, Jacob Collins, and then Tom Collins, who shows up for a bit, they all do that, right?
Oh, okay.
Bam! Get some green eggs and ham!
It came out of my mouth, and I was like, what was that? Where is that from? I'm very tired.
Hey,
I'm
you
sorry,
should try
everyone.
To bring that back. If you feel like leaving us a review, I know we remind you of this every, like, two episodes or so, but we do love reading your reviews, and it kind of helps, I think, our visibility on iTunes, which is cool. Even if you want to leave us a negative review, we were talking a bit on the air today about some of the hate that we get sometimes.
Yeah.
And then we got this call.
I was hearing you guys talk about the people who, you know, have a little bit of a hate on for you guys on social media.
Yeah.
So, just so you know, I'm of Italian heritage, and I know how to mix concrete.
So it sounds like if we need somebody offed, that is an option.
Okay.
Good to know.
Yep.
Bye for now.
Sleep tight.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.